Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
Kevin Harlan has a good problem. Instead of saying good, he says COD. He denies it, but the man says COD. And it's a McNeil and Parkins show investigation to figure out why and the degrees of COD.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear how these went over the weekend.
Culver, the pump, the three, COD! Here's a three, COD! Moretti, three, COD!
Okay, there's a few things going on here. The man is clearly saying COD. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, like I hear kind of like could almost in one of those. It almost sounded like COD!
COD!
This is a conspiracy. That's what this is.
I love the idea from Rich and Peoria on the text line that he's basically just playing the meow game from Super Troopers. And he is saying COD on some sort of bet, and he's disguising it as good, and that Kevin Harlan's getting like $50 every time he says COD.
All right, now where were we?
I'm sorry, are you saying meow?
Talk to another great play-by-play man, Len Casper. Go ahead.
I think he said it's God.
It's God.
God.
Let me give you a little inside information about God.
What do we make of this, Len?
Well, the last couple were a little closer to good than kind.
Think the unthinkable. Question everything. Now, we're through the looking glass here, people. White is black, and black is white.
Well, we're on the case.
One more thing, sir. I almost forgot.
Cord! Cord! Cord!
Any of you know what bacalao is? Of course you don't. Well, it's salted cod. We taught the world how to eat.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Great broadcaster. Can't say good. It's an odd thing.
Something's happened to Kevin Harlan. I don't know what, but there's a ghost in the machine that is his brain.
And now I want to know, do we do a deep dive on his history? Do we go back 20 years of Kevin Harlan broadcast? Has it always been this way, or did it start with the NFC Championship
No,
game?
We would have noticed it by then. Certainly the first time you hear it, you notice it.
I think, but now I can't stop hearing it.
It was Greg Zuerlein's field goal the first time we heard it.
Yes, the radio broadcast of the NFC title game.
Yeah, it was COD then, and we played it for him, and he denied his CODness.
And then it's just right been COD there. Ever since.
Right, it's evidence. We are submitting this as evidence. Do you hear the COD? And he says he can't hear it.
So we now have NFC Championship game COD. We have March Madness COD. And coming soon next month to a television near you, NBA playoffs COD.
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be plenty of it out there.
It's West
the
Coast
fish
COD.
Of 2019. It's really kind of a versatile fish, too, Danny. It's an inexpensive fish. It's an easy fish to prepare. It's kind of hard to mess up. COD!
Well done by Chris Tannehill on the open today. It's the birthday boy. Put it in big work. Happy birthday, Tanny.
That.
Star of the
thanks,
show.
Guys. Appreciate it.
On his,
he works on his birthday.
We were struggling to come up with the all-time Chicago number 36, birthday number 36 for Tanny today. And, man, I give you Dave Boland of the 2013 Hawk. Yeah, right? That's where we're starting. Boley, Mike Bielecki, won 18 games for the 89 Cubs. And nobody wins 18 games anymore, but Bielecki was only here 3 or 4 years.
Well, there's also not, I mean, just outside of Chicago sports, is Jerome Bettis the best 36 ever?
Modern era, probably, I would think. Yeah.
It's just not that prolific of a number.
It's just not that great of a number. Nobody ever grew up wanting to be jersey number 36.
No.
Did they?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
It's like anyone. Kevin Tappany?
Kevin Tappany is, yeah, he's probably in the team photo.
Was he 36 on both? I know he was 36 as a Cub.
I'm pretty sure he was 36 on both sides. Yeah. Oh, rock and roll face, old divot chin, Kevin Tappany.
Kevin Tappany always looked 42 years old. Like when he was a Minnesota Twin and I first started watching baseball, he looked like he was 42.
Just out of the womb at 42 Leland. Years old.
When Jim Leland was like 50 and right. managing the Pirates, I thought he was 90.
He was sure.
Benjamin
he looked
Button.
The same when he managed the Tigers 20 years later.
I never thought of that with Kevin Tappany, but I'm going to Google image search him immediately.
There's got to be a bear or two along the way who wore 36 who did something, wasn't there?
Something.
Well, Marcus Paul, was he wore 36 and 32.
Since it's my birthday, I think I'm okay with just settling for great White Sox players who wore 36. Of, you know, you have the great
Josh Fegley.
Josh Fegley wore the 36 for a short time. And also 2005 champion Chris Widger.
Of course.
The softball player turned World Series champion wore 36.
Boy, there was never a world champion who was more happy to be recognized when he walked through a building than Chris Widger. They tell his family, that guy knows who I am. Yeah, Widge, you're a world champion now, buddy. Act like it.
Happy Chris Widger birthday, Danny.
Happy Widge.
I'll take it. That's how I feel today.
Gary Matthews, the Sarge, was a 36, too. So maybe he's worth kicking. All right, that's it. We did that. Happy birthday. Happy.
Welcome back, man. It's
Thank
not the same
you.
Without you around
Thank
here.
You. Oh, it's just as nice, I'm sure. I caught a little bit of your act yesterday.
In some ways, nicer.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
No, but we've been thinking of you, and Shep obviously filled in admirably.
Thank
but...
you. Yes, I heard discussion. A little bit yesterday regarding Showpot and the need for refueling because we kind of went up. We're subject to going up in flames real fast come Saturday late afternoon.
We could be in big trouble if the favorite, 5.5-point favorite, the one seed, if Virginia knocks out Auburn, we're in trouble. And
that's what you get for gambling.
James Harden. I don't know. It's a toss-up, man, for the NBA MVP. Giannis might save us and put $1,000 back into the account.
Yeah,
but if Harden wins,
right. It's the Duke thing. It's a $1,000 wager that stings. That's the most I've ever lost on a sporting event, even though it was a futures. It was a tournament bet.
That's still a sporting event.
Most I've ever lost. Yeah, it hurts. It's a stinger. It wasn't a good Sunday late afternoon.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And, I mean, they should have lost to UCF. They should have lost to Tech.
That's true.
It was a miracle that they made it to the Elite
Eight. I don't feel like the best team, you know, didn't advance. They absolutely deserved to lose. They shouldn't have even been there.
So, I mean, I'm not worried about us reloading by the time football comes around. But are we going to be able to get through dog days of summer?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. What you predicted yesterday, I'm pretty sure you predicted it, that I would be reloading.
Yeah, instead of Danny Mac, it'll be Daddy Mac. Daddy Mac Warbucks.
That's got to happen. Got to happen soon.
Well, when I told my buddies about the Duke bet, they wanted to be your bookie. They were like, I would have given better than 2.25 to 1. That's a terrible wager. They're like, just pass along my number. We'll book any of those that he wants.
Didn't we do that last year with the Cubs, too? Didn't we get the Cubs to win the NL at like a ridiculous price, like 3-1 or something?
It was bad.
No payout.
Yeah, Bovada's futures are terrible, but it's a site.
We're terrible gamblers.
and we're terrible gamblers, and the site pays out. And a lot of them are really sketchy with taking your money and giving you back your money, so we sacrifice it.
There clearly is enough evidence to support the contention we're terrible gamblers.
We are.
Yes, there's – right. I'm not going to dispute that, but okay. I would defend the Duke bet, even though it didn't work. It wasn't a terrible wager.
Just, I mean,
most people thought they were going to win the whole thing.
They were the favorites, but you know the favorites in a single elimination amateur basketball tournament.
Ran down and put it on somebody that was 50-1.
Right, but it's the most random tournament there is. It's just not based off of luck because good teams do win it. It's not like you always have 5 seeds winning, but it's just the most random toss up tournament in sports that anyone cares about.
Yeah. All right.
It happens, man.
All right. We'll reload, though.
Of course. Well, we're not going to have to. Auburn's going to win. We'll have to tip Eli a little something-something. Giannis will win, and we'll be back up to 4K.
Was Simba, the cock of the walk yesterday, walking tall?
He was king.
He doesn't have to wait anymore.
He doesn't have to.
Someone
sent me the gift.
Well,
on Twitter.
He does, because if Virginia wins, then all of his future tickets, that's the one that he doesn't have. So
he has a Tech future, a Michigan State future, and an Auburn future.
Yeah,
so
that makes me so happy.
It doesn't matter, though. He's been
he's been validated.
Right, but if he's paying for that vacation he was telling us about.
That's true. Simba said that he will be up, assuming no Virginia, assuming one of his future tickets cashes, he'll be up somewhere between four figures and five figures of gambling on college basketball this year. And okay. I happen to know that early on in the season, but I mean, you know, for him early on in the season, I know he was making $10 plays at the beginning.
Right.
So this is a big come up. And so he's talking about funding a vacation for him and his girlfriend with his tournament winnings. I'm very happy for him.
Where's he planning on going? Has he discussed that?
He's talking about New York City.
Okay. By train? I mean, if he's won $1,000, I guess that'll get you airfare.
It'll get you there.
I mean, he's up four figures. That's $1,000 bucks,
Danny offered
right?
to buy him a dinner, though.
I told him that I'd buy his. If Auburn wins the title, I will buy the dinner on vacation at whatever nice place he wants to take his girl to.
Yeah, because you have a 90-1 play on Auburn.
Correct.
For $100.
Correct. I'm going to hedge off a little bit.
Would that be your biggest win?
Yes.
If you won 9 Gs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be my biggest sports win because the 2014 Royals lost in game 7 without me hedging, and then the 2015 Clemson Tigers lost, and I also paid to fly Steph and I there and bought tickets without hedging, and then both of those teams won the next year. So I was a year nice. Early on both 30-1 tickets, which was very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this would be my biggest win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congrats. If you do it.
Yeah, I mean.
Why am I congratulating you? You've won nothing.
I've won exactly nothing. Yeah. And I'm going to.
Typical millennial Parkins.
I haven't spent any of the winnings.
Participation trophy.
Yeah. Exactly right. So we were thinking about places we could go with if Harden wins, so we don't get the Giannis bet, and if Auburn loses, and we just have $400. We were thinking we would just go to the cheese farm for you.
That works.
And
yeah.
get the 30-year age yes. cheddar, like a couple ounces.
Mineral Point, Wisconsin, is our destination. The price of gas, the way it's gone up lately, we'll probably spend all $400.
Right? Maybe we could buy three rounds of golf because Tanny doesn't play. You ride around in the cart.
All we have to do is pay a rider's fee for him. He doesn't play.
Probably afford
a peace
that.
And quiet would be nice. It's good enough for me.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what we have going on in the sports gambling
world.
Why don't you?
You never know desire just
to what
to play golf.
It's dumb. No,
well,
I wouldn't yuck another man's yum. It's just I didn't grow up playing it. My dad plays it, but it was not something that we shared. And I grew up different than a lot of you guys. I'm sure a lot of you guys had friends that were golfers, and that's what you and your buddies like to do. You know, me and my guys, not so much. So, you know, it's just something I never grew up with, don't care to do. You know, I'm from the George Carlin School, where I think that lot of land we better serve putting up a school or anything else, you know, playground.
He's right.
It's an adult playground. I see that in that regard. But I think it's, you know.
Listen, love
if you guys like it, great. I don't think I'll ever get into it.
Boy, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in what he just said. Can't do it tomorrow at 4 o'clock. I grew up a little different than you guys did. Yes, do tell more.
I agree with almost everything that he said. Golf is unbelievably stupid, but I love it. I love it. It's peaceful. It's time away. You get to be outside. You're surrounded by beauty.
You can play it until late in life. You can't do a whole lot of sports late in life. And you can't do this any good if you haven't been trained appropriately. But so what? It's a recreational activity. You don't have to be good at it to enjoy it.
Exactly. It's a good
helps.
It's good. You could do it with your spouse. You could do it with your buddies. You could do it while drinking on something.
Spouse golfing ain't so good.
Nah, it's okay. You can do something.
Is that not ideal, Mac? The ideal setting.
A little smoke, little drink, little getaway. Right.
Talk with your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It's like, oh, I'm going to go golf for 5 hours on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's peaceful.
You know, I heard a commercial on the air here on the Score recently, and it was, I think it was for a beer, and I don't remember which one. And the ad starts by saying, there's nothing better than watching tournament hoops and drinking beer with your buddies. And I'm thinking, okay, how do other guys fill in that statement? What is the activity and what is the augmentation like beer? How would I answer that question? There's nothing better than blank with your buddies and doing blank.
Yeah. How did you fill it in?
Playing golf and smoking weed.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say fishing and smoking weed.
Fishing and smoking weed works too. Yeah, that works too. Smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, there it is. Listen, playing golf is
it's the best.
It is. It's great.
And it's an excuse to be away for a long period of time. Oh, the phone was in the golf bag. Phone was in the cart.
Mm-hmm.
You just get to be totally I'm outside. I'm being active, even if I'm having three beers and puffing on something and riding a golf cart. This is my activity.
Yes, this is activity.
This is my physical exertion.
Getaway. Complete decompression time.
It's the best. This Hour on the Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. So Ron Rappaport, longtime Sun-Times columnist, he wrote a book on Ernie Banks. He's going to be in studio at 3 o'clock, a different side of the Cubs legend that you might not have heard. You took in a lot of baseball while you were gone. I am curious to see how panicked you think Cubs fans should be. The reactions have spanned the gauntlet since you've been gone and four games have been played. So we'll get into it coming up on the Score.
Chad Sabatka. 95-mile-an-hour heater and a slider for Sabatka. He worked Saturday. He did that.
I wonder if Chad Sabatka's related to Frank.
Oh! I loved it. I loved every bit of it.
Oh! Nicky Sabatka down by the docks. Ooh, Frankie of the docks. Nicky of the docks. Chad Sabatka.
Season 2 of The Wire. Much maligned. Although I think a very good season.
Much maligned in what regard?
People say it's the worst season of The Wire. But
people say to skip it. Like, oh, if you're going to watch The Wire, just skip an entire season, season 2, which is ridiculous.
Idiotic. First of all, it's better than season 5. And any part of The Wire is better than any other television that you've ever seen. And
wow, that's a big statement.
And some of the best scenes in the whole damn show happen in season 2. Namely, Omar testifying against Bird. You just going to miss that whole thing? I got the shotgun, you got the briefcase. Get the hell out of here. Season 2's the best.
I'm taking your word for it.
Season 4 is the best, but it's great. Join the Score at 1-2 Pru on East Randolph for a special Back to Baseball live broadcast. Mully and Hoff 5-9, Bernstein and McKnight until noon, Lawrence Holmes until 2. We are on until Cubs pregame at 5:45. Enjoy a day of baseball talk with your favorite shows, special guests, and fun activities. It's presented by Redemption Rye Whiskey.
So many activities.
Rye is back, and so is baseball. Get your Redemption Rye Whiskey or Bourbon today. And Sweetwater Tavern and Grill, newly remodeled and reopened on the Mag Mile. That is this Thursday in the lobby of 1-2 Pru. So how have you taken in these first four games of Cubs baseball?
The panic entertains me enormously, as it always does, four games into a baseball season. It's crazy, some of the hysteria, but I think the tone was set by the president right after the season concluded so abruptly when he talked about urgency.
October starts in March.
There it is. October starts in March. Got to win now. They're hitting the baseball, and
until last night.
Yes, until last night. Right, they still are among the top three or four teams in the league in a lot of important categories. You got nothing out of Darvish in start number one, and that was one of your biggest concerns coming into the base. That was the biggest concern you had entering the season. Mine was the back end of the bullpen. We proved to be prophetic opening weekend in Texas because that's the reason they lost those two games.
Yeah, it wasn't hard to predict either of those things. And like, for me, it was weird because the concern I had with Darvish was palpable, but it was also, if he's good – and he sounded like he was ready to be good. Like, I admit, I bought into he's not speaking through the translator. He said the stuff was the best it had been. He was throwing free and easy at 97. Like, I admit, I fell into it completely thinking that Darvish was going to be good. And then
he might be.
He might be.
He didn't get out of the third inning in his first start of the year.
There wasn't a ball.
What you were hoping for.
I know, Mac, but like there were already excuses being made for him. He was amped up. First game back in Texas since being traded away. I don't care.
He goes six innings and only gives up a couple of earned runs his next time out. All is forgotten and you're on the rebuild. You're on the reboot. There seems to be such an amped up, you know, level of expectancy with this team. I don't think you can accurately judge a baseball season until you get at least 35 or 40 games into it.
At least.
I guess they've brought that on themselves by talking about trap games. And, you know, when everybody learns that the president is camping out near the manager's office in the clubhouse, that raises everybody's antenna, and it should be, I guess. But I mean, how many series is Joe Maddon allowed to lose consecutively before he starts looking over his shoulder? Or is he already?
See, I'm not panicked, even though yesterday I could certainly see why people felt like if they listened to the show, it sounded like it. I was certainly frustrated with Darvish, but I'm not panicked about the season. But I really believe that Cubs fans, more so than any other fan base in this town, take what their leaders and their brain trusts say as gospel. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. They have the pelts on the wall. They won the World Series. So what Theo and Jed and Joe project to the fan base projects back to them. That's why you see people wearing all Joe Maddon's t-shirt slogans.
Well, and Maddon
in the stands.
Was very composed today, and
yes,
it didn't sound like from his perspective when he did his first 20 minutes with Lawrence Holmes at noon today from his hotel room in Atlanta, sound very relaxed.
Yeah.
The sky isn't falling on him, nor should it be, four games into the season.
Of course not. And he will project confidence and look at the bright side of things as he always does, even though he admitted last night, there's no bright side of last night. You just crumble it up and throw it away. It was just one of those games. But I guess what I'm saying is when Joe said last year, everything will be fine, everything will be fine, everything will be fine, a lot of us, well, yeah, everything will be fine.
Sure, we're the Cubs.
We're the Cubs.
Yeah, we put the uniform on and that means 95 wins just by wearing it.
Right. When
and it, actually, that's how it played out, too.
Exactly. And then before 2016, when they were talking about, oh, we've got a plan. We're not going to, you know, we're going to win here. We're going to win big. Everyone's like, yeah, all right. They're going to win. They're going to end the curse and the drought and all that. Well, now if Theo's talking about urgency and then the actions behind it are not extending the manager, and we all know that they could trade pieces at the deadline if they're not in it, the games do matter. The season has been shortened in terms of when action will actually come for the Cubs. At least that's how I feel about it. Reasonable minds can disagree, I guess, but I absolutely think that the season has been shortened. So people saying it's 4 of 162, sure it has been, but you got to shorten it to the trade deadline or to when they could fire Joe Maddon or when they could trade Ben Zobrist or Cole Hamels.
That's one of the things I think I'd like to hear from the audience on today, too, if you'd like to get to us via text message 67011. That's immediately what I wonder, because we both suspect it's a reality that could happen. Joe Maddon could wind up getting fired this season before the All-Star break.
Correct.
What's the earliest you think Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer would be inclined to make a change?
At least 60 games, I would think.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I mean,
what if they lost four of their first five? And I'm not saying they should fire him, but if they drop four of their first five series of the year...
What happens if this week, just to throw it out there, what happens if this week goes to hell? If they don't respond tomorrow, they lose again in Atlanta, maybe they win on getaway day against the Braves, maybe they don't, but then they get swept by the Brewers over the weekend in Milwaukee, and they're coming home with two or three wins to their name only.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
well, your opening
that
day
series
tickets
against the Brewers looming large.
It can get away
second
from the
weekend
fast.
Of the
and
series.
It's not to say it's over, but it can, like, this is an important 5-day stretch.
I agree with you. I certainly wouldn't want to be holding opening day tickets.
Like, really good teams right now.
This is so stupid.
That's the grass isn't even green yet, and we're at important series time. I love it. It's baseball season.
Hey, man, there's a promo of us talking about how they want – how their talking makes us sound like and feel like we should be evaluating it like it's a football season. Even though we know – you know, in our heads, that's stupid.
It'll make you crazy if you treat baseball like that.
I know.
It really will.
I know.
And I'd like to believe that they know that, and they're going to, you know, because the tighter you allow yourself to get, the less effective you'll be. The more...
Right.
It's baseball. You got to let it unfold. You have to let baseball come to you. There's no such thing as playing harder in baseball.
And when I talked to Len Casper yesterday with Shep, he was saying, listen, I'm around him all the time. The only thing that's been a little different so far is there's been more batting practice. Nothing else. There's no tightness. There's no urgency. There's no anything like that. And I think that it's true that the urgency has maybe been overstated a bit by the media. But I don't think that you can blame the media for that when They're the ones saying
You blame your
it.
Guy Theo Epstein.
Yes, absolutely. His end-of-the-season press conference was very raw.
He imposed Theo law.
And they haven't hid from any of that. So I think that it's totally natural that there's a little bit of confusion of how do you balance urgency and trying harder with what we all know about baseball. But in terms of a drastic action, like firing the winningest manager in the last 100-plus years of the Cubs.
Yeah, you got to forget about that, though. I think that's not part of the equation anymore. This is audition time for Joe Maddon, despite what he's done in past years.
Yes,
that's all
no.
forgotten.
I don't think so.
It is in the eyes of the management team.
I don't know about
That's why they're setting up shop right next door to him downstairs.
Then why didn't they fire him?
Give him another opportunity.
But why did he earn that other opportunity? Because of what he's done.
Yes, that and $6 million they probably didn't want to eat.
But you don't, I mean, sure. But that doesn't come off of the luxury tax. Like, that's just money. Like, and I know that they're saying there's no more baseball money, but they have money to
add. They're using his job as the carrot for the player. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just saying, I think if they wanted to fire Joe Maddon, they would have fired him. I don't think that they wanted to fire him.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Joe's the problem right now.
I don't either. You know what I mean? He's not the reason Yu Darvish was awful
exactly.
Saturday. Was
exactly.
it Saturday, Sunday, whenever it was.
So what I said before the season, as of now, I still believe. I still bet on Joe Maddon being the manager of the Cubs this season.
Mm-hmm.
We all said that.
So they're going to bounce back.
Yeah. They're going to be
They're
fine.
They're
going
to be fine.
They're going to be
okay.
in competition.
All right, I just want to make sure I got you down. On the record, the Cubs will survive this rough start, this 1-3 commencement to the 2019 season will not be their undoing.
Hey, Christian Yelich finally had a game where he didn't hit a home run.
Oh, my goodness. That boy is slapping it around, isn't he?
Yes, he is. So nice of him to cool off before the Cubs come to town.
That's all he needs is a weekend against Cubs pitching to get nice and fat.
God. That's all we need right now is the Brewers to sweep the Cubs and Bart Winkler to start taunting us.
Bart's on top of it probably, all right?
I assume
so.
So
you think? Yeah.
I assume so.
Because he checked out a football season before there was snow on the ground. He was a fast exit from Packers season.
That's true.
I follow Bart Winkler's interests.
We know you do. You're holding your breath with every baited tweet. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall. When they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Ron Rappaport's in the building. We'll bring him in studio at 3 o'clock to discuss his newest Ernie Banks book. And again, wide-ranging Cubs reaction coming in on the text line. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
But every time I see that name of Antonio Alfonseca, I think about my late great partner, Ron Santo. I don't think he realized that Antonio was part of his name.
So what do you mean by he didn't think his name was Antonio?
Well, the name of Al Fonseca, Ron thought his name was Al Fonseca.
There you had it.
Just like the CODs are in full force with Kevin Harlan.
Yep.
Zach Zaidman is in mid-season form with the Zackles.
The Zackle is back.
And as much as the Cubs blowing a lead... An early season panic?
Yeah.
That sounds like baseball to me.
It sure does. There's the giggler. He's a Zackler. Yeah. I don't think of Ron Santo when I hear the name Antonio Alfonseca. I think of the greatest question ever asked of a guest on this radio station in its 27-plus year history when Jesse Rogers asked Antonio Alfonseca if he was born with six fingers. That's my favorite of all time. Nothing rivals it.
Not even Spiegel asking Hossa if he works out?
Nope. That was good.
It's good. It's not even close, though. Really.
It's unbelievable. But it's Jesse, so it kind of is believable.
Were you born with six fingers? No, actually. Where I'm from, once we reach the age of five, we spawn a sixth.
Jewish people have a ceremony to become a man called a bar mitzvah. For us, we get a sixth finger.
You see where I'm from? That's a great answer.
Okay. What did he say?
I don't even remember.
It's not important.
I'm assuming he confirmed it. That would be my suspicion.
Sure.
All I remember is playing the question over and over again. Yeah,
of course, the answer ceased to be important.
He showed him his birth certificate with the little adorable six fingers. So cute.
It got Jesse's name in Sports Illustrated.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah. They said it.
That's incredible.
They said it section of SI.
What a career then for Jesse Rogers, because you told me the first time he was in the paper was the North story.
Yes, when they had the woman of the night in the company. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's fantastic.
That's all I'll say about it.
Tremendous
Sid
career.
Rogers, comma, 24, comma, of Northbrook.
What a career. So it's a little harder to find laughs and zackles in a blowout game for the Cubs, you would think, but this was what was on the Cubs radio network with Pat, Ron, and Zach Zaidman last night.
Carl Edwards Jr. fires. Donaldson whistles the line drive foul down the left field line.
Pat, I wanted to make you feel better. I was reading up on Bart Giamatti, and he taught briefly at Princeton, but, of course, spent most of his academic life at Yale. So you weren't all the way wrong.
I wish I would have known that 30 years ago, Zach. Could have come in handy. No balls and a strike. So you thought that would make me feel better?
It's been one of them nights.
Hey, swinging a foul back out of play. No, that was a nice effort by you, Zach, and we appreciate that.
Sounded like it.
Mm-hmm. No, but when I mixed up Yale and Princeton with the commissioner, he thought it was hilarious. And I apologized profusely, and he says, "Oh, never mind. It's the same conference or whatever." He said it's an easy mistake to make. A swing and a miss, strike three, and the inning comes to an end.
Yeah, a little tough. That's tough. Tough crowd. Tough crowd, my God. We got a Pat Hughes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, then, Pat Hughes went Ron Coomer.
He really
I noticed
did.
That also.
That was great. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Dexter says, the question was, it's how long have you had six fingers? The answer was, all my life. Tal Ponce. Mm-hmm. Biff in Lake Geneva,
well,
if that is your real name. What's up, Biff? You're on the score.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, you guys are, talking about replacing Joe Maddon. I'm just wondering who you're thinking of being the replacement.
Oh, no, we're not replacing him today, Biff.
Not yet.
We're just thinking aloud, talking about how many series consecutively would the Cubs have to drop before the Wolves start howling. Based on off-season conversation from the president, I don't suspect it'll take long. I think that would be silly to make a move before you get to July, don't you?
I do. To answer your question, though, I would install Mark Loretta as the favorite.
Get back, Loretta.
Given that he's been hired as the bench coach, and I would think that David Ross would also be on a short list. I would be surprised if it was Joe Girardi or a big-name guy with a ton of pelts on the wall who would command a huge salary.
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it, I think. The trend is going in the cheaper direction because your front office does all the work. They give the manager his spray charts. He just writes in the names, right?
I guess, and I know you mock it, but...
Not necessarily.
You do.
No, I'm not mocking it. No.
Don't you say it's ridiculous that salaries are going down for managers?
I do think it's not that I'm mocking baseball math. I think it's great they have the numbers available. I still think a manager should be given enormous credit for the Tony sets for the longest season in pro sports when guys have to look at each other every day.
I agree with that. I just don't know that that's a $6 million a year job anymore. It might be more of a $1 or $2 million a year job for a guy who was more recently a player.
Maybe. Well, you certainly have a lot of owner support with that sentiment because that's what they're doing.
Well, right. I think that's the logic behind it. Whether it ends up being right or wrong, listen, I think that money is couch cushion change to the Cubs. But then it's also couch cushion change to the Red Sox and the Yankees, and that's what they did last year, and they won like 200 combined baseball games.
I know.
You know? So, and the Red Sox, what, best
tough team? Start for the Red Sox this year, though. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're panicking.
They're worried.
In Boston.
They should be.
Yeah. All the teams in the AL, right? Yeah, Indians, Astros, Yankees, Red Sox all get out to suboptimal starts.
I don't want the first hour of the show to pass without mentioning the best part of the baseball season thus far. In my opinion, both sides of town, the single biggest highlight is Yoan Moncada.
We gave a lot of love to him yesterday, and the game was going on while we were on when he had that game-tying hit. He's been great.
Yeah.
He's just been, you know, the strikeouts are down. The approach from both sides of the plate looks good. Comfortable at third base. A little bit of power. He's got, what, two extra base hits already mm-hmm. this year? Yeah. He looks really good.
Yeah. Good tank loss yesterday for the White Sox.
I'm not, listen, until you're eliminated, play
to
win the
game. Who called that earlier? I was thinking the same thing as Shep it was did. Transpiring last night. And a nice offensive show, and then came that 4-run eighth inning for the Indians. Well, oh, my, it was going so well.
Yeah, but nice showing really. As soon as Clevinger was lifted. Mm-hmm. Put up three runs.
That was the thing. It was like, oh, it was going so well. You had one hit and then struck out 12 times through seven.
Well, Mac, yesterday, you know, this is after the Moncada hit, I believe. Parkins asked me on the air, he's like, you got to be excited, huh? I said, they're 1-2.
You got to be excited.
It's about individual victories.
Yeah, well.
Not for the team, like victories of individuals.
He's the guy who's got the most pressure on him of anybody in that uniform this year, doesn't he?
Probably.
He has to play. I mean, is he nears, 1,000 career at-bats and people waiting for him to go to the next level and cut down on his franchise record, 217 Ks last year, whatever the hell it was?
It was 217. It was, yeah. So he's getting a lot of love early, and if he can sustain it, it's huge for them because I've loved watching Eloy, and I'm sure he'll be great. Everyone says he will, but they need multiple guys, right? It's one guy in baseball doesn't do anything
That's
for you.
That's correct.
So, Yoan
Moncada. Unless it's Christian Yelich.
I guess. Do you think he's going to hit 100 home runs this year?
I do. Yes, I do.
At least.
Yeah.
Right, but that whole Brewers lineup, like 1-8, that lineup will beat the hell out of you. He just happens to be as good a hitter as there is in the NL right now.
Yes. Yes, he does. So are we scared of the Brewers? Is that what we have to do?
You should have been before a 1-3 start. Not scared
I'm
of
not
them,
scared.
But respectful of them. They're the division champions.
Yeah, respect.
Danny still has the Cubs winning the 2018 National League Central, I think.
I think so. Yeah, just hold out.
He's the last to ever jump off board that. So yeah. I think he still got that going.
He was pretty cocky along the way last year. I'm not worried. They're the Cubs. They're fine. Yeah. Just put that C hat on and go out there. You're the Cubs. You'll prosper.
It's almost as if Theo was speaking directly to two Parkins. Like, you're not just going to come out, we're the Cubs, we'll be fine.
You're
and
entitled.
Parkins is like, yeah.
Listen, talk
entitled,
about your all-time backfires.
You're a drunk. What else?
Yeah, I messed up. Hey, man, they won 95 games. One more win. One more win, everything would have been fine.
See, now, 85.
Exactly.
The talk about not as much beer and not as much junk food. See, this is what, with a slow start, I just wonder if this thing, you know, hey, have a potential for people to be uptight. Because on an off day today, or if they would have chosen to do it last night with an off day today, if guys who like to have a few drinks wanted to go out and raise hell, they have every right in the world to do that without being suspected of being a bad guy.
100%. Wouldn't bother me at all. I'm telling you, last night's game, while an embarrassing performance, and hopefully it's one of the two or three worst games they play all year, that one didn't stick with me at all. I didn't care at all about last night's game. It was comical with how bad they were.
Boy, I don't know. I didn't. I stayed with it. Of course, I did fall asleep. I had that luxury of falling asleep.
It made me more upset.
Really?
It's just, well, you have the two heartbreakers over the weekend, and it's just not even if they win or lose last night, but to show up and do that. Like, you played as ugly a baseball game at the major league level you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
Six errors happens once every 15 years or so.
Bunting on the walls. It's the Braves opener.
Like,
full house, and that's what you show up to do.
That the response of giving away a game on Saturday, giving away a game on Sunday, your response when you get to the ballpark is, meh, misplay a fly ball to start the game, and all of it goes to hell immediately.
Yeah, sometimes you just lay an egg in baseball, though. Blowing a game with your bullpen when you have a 5-run and a 4-run lead in back-to-back days, those are heartbreaking losses.
Yes, those are much more difficult to take. But to Shep's point, you wonder what in the world prompts an outing like that after you drop the first series. You know what it is? It's baseball.
Exactly. That's why that one was easy. Blowing 5 and 4 run leads was not supposed to happen when the Cubs are supposed to win 90-95 games.
No, not until September.
And the Rangers are supposed to lose 90-95 games. That's why the weekend was painful. Last night was just stupid. That was just a waste of time.
Yeah, and I stayed with it. Oh, my goodness.
Good for you, man.
Ooh.
Coming up next, we're going to bring legendary longtime Sun-Times columnist Ron Rappaport in studio. He wrote a book with Ernie Banks, which I haven't got through all of it yet, but it's fascinating. He did a bunch of interviews with Banks
right before
he died in 2015. So it was going to be an as-told-to autobiography, at least that's my understanding of it. And then after his death, he continues the project, speaks to over 100 people about it, and it gives you a more all-encompassing view of Mr. Cub, lovable, let's play two. It actually shows Ernie Banks in a three-dimensional form as a human being.
Yes, there are some sides to Ernie Banks not a lot of people got a chance to get to know, and that's the point of Let's Play Two from Ron Rappaport.
Who joins us in studio next. McNeil and Park is on the score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.